Now, there's long been a debate about the relevance of Braille for the modern world. Now, Braille is a system of raised dots that allows people in the blind community to read information with their fingers. But with only 8% of blind people using Braille, there is talk that it is irrelevant and may even die out altogether. Now, could advances in technology change this going forward? I'm joined now by James Bowden, who is a Braille Technical Officer with RNIB. He's also a member of the UK Association for Accessible Formats and represents the UK on the International Council on English Braille, which met at the National Education Centre for Blind Children in Ireland in April of 2018. Hi James, you're a busy man.
Hello, how are you, Simon?
I'm well, thank you. Now, first of all, I'm just going to ask the question, why is Braille important?
Braille is important because it's literacy. If you, for example, went into any, should we say, sighted situation and told them you're not allowed to write anything down on any bits of paper, read anything off a screen ever again, you can imagine the shock and horror. So the equivalent is Braille is literacy, a written form of literacy for those who can't read print.
So particularly for young people then, it's a real advantage.
Absolutely. And you can do everything in Braille, from basic literacy, basic words, through to foreign languages, advanced mathematics, science. There's even a Braille music code.
Yeah, it's quite amazing that, because you also can download Braille music as well now online and things like that. How does technology feed into this? Because the thing I was familiar with years ago was the Perkins Brailler, which was quite a contraption and quite noisy,
yes,
wasn't it?
I've still got one or two of them. They still work and they are still very useful things for taking just a quick note on a piece of paper. But the interesting thing about technology is you don't actually need to use paper. Just as people nowadays write things on, I don't know, smartphones or tablets or computers and so on, we can do the same with modern Braille technology. It's called a Braille display and basically consists of one or more rows of electronically driven dots.
And the new technology, it's more advanced. But I was wondering, before we talk about the new technology going forward, some people argue that because we've got so much audio technology now, it's irrelevant to have Braille. But you would disagree with that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, I would disagree with that. I would say there is a place for audio and there is also a place for Braille. If you can, the combination is extremely powerful. So I normally say speech for speed, Braille for precision. I've seen cases where those who only use audio have appalling spelling, for example. Another case where Braille is really helpful is, let's say you want to dial a telephone number. Now, most people who use synthetic speech will ramp the speed up to very high indeed. And if it suddenly says 0805, what was that again? And I have to listen to it three or four times. Whereas you can just have it on the Braille display and there it is. You go at your own speed as you need it. There it is. It's horses for courses in some cases, just like some people like to do banking online. Some people like to have paper statements. Similarly, some people would still like to do banking online with audio. Other people would prefer to have paper statements in Braille.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But it's having that choice which makes a difference, though, doesn't it?
And that's where this newer technology, which is just on the horizon, is coming in. Traditionally, the cost of Braille displays has been rather prohibitive. We're talking four figures. It's a lot of money. But the new raft of Braille technology is hoping to change that, bringing it significantly lower.
Well, tell us a bit about then the advances in Braille technology, because it's a thing that could make it even more functional and attractive for younger students, couldn't it?
That's a difficult one.
Is it?
Because you've got to learn the technology as well as learn the Braille.
If you've learnt Braille, though, then you would move on to this technology. You could use it, couldn't you?
Yes, you could. And you can use some of these new Braille devices either as a standalone device to read a book, a bit like a Kindle, really, or you can take notes on them, or you can connect them to a computer or smartphone and then have it a bit like a Braille screen.
So basically, in real time, you're reading this with your fingers. It's reading it to you.
That's right. So when I have it connected to the computer, I can either use the speech or use the Braille or do both.
I had one youngster mention that it afforded him a bit of privacy.
That is true. So I personally don't like talking watches. It's a personal thing. I know a lot of people find them extremely helpful. But if you, you know, press the button in a meeting, everybody knows it's 11:17 and I'm bored. But if I have a tactile watch, I can just quietly lift the lid, read the hands, put it down again, and nobody knows. And likewise, you could say the same with Braille and synthetic speech. If you haven't got headphones, you've got this constant babble going on, whereas Braille is pretty much silent. Similar token, I find Braille extremely helpful if, for example, I'm doing a presentation. I don't really want a speech synthesizer twittering away in my ear. I'd much rather have my hands on the Braille and my ears free to listen to what the audience is asking me.
And of course, the technology is meaning that you can do this more accurately in real time now.
The technology does, or you can still use good old-fashioned paper Braille.
How do we get people interested more in it then? Because it can be a challenge as you're older, the various things like the sensitivity of your fingers and things like that. It can be quite a challenge, I think, to learn Braille.
That's right. But I think there's also a lot of myths about Braille which need to be busted. Braille is old, Braille is big, Braille is slow. All that sort of thing is not necessarily true. It is very easy to learn, for example, just the basic Braille alphabet. 26 characters, you can probably learn that in an afternoon if you put your mind to it. More of a challenge, as you rightly say, is training your fingers to distinguish the Braille characters.
And is that just a matter of perseverance then?
That really is a matter of perseverance. If I could say an analogy, you didn't learn to read print in a day, you won't learn the whole Braille code in a day either. And the more you do it, the better you'll get at it.
And again, what are the advantages for you then? We've covered some of them.
Precision, I think, for me is the main one. So, for example, if I need to know the spelling of something, it's extremely useful that I can just instantly find that without, for example, having to press a hotkey on a screen reader to spell something. I'll give you an example. I was reading a document a few months ago, and right the way through, it was referring to, say, Section 7. All the way through, 7 was a number, except once, where it was written out. That's technically an error. You wouldn't have picked that up with speech.
Right. Okay. So it's like you say, it's more accurate.
Absolutely. You can tell instantly if something is capitalized, not capitalized, misspelt, what the punctuation signs are after it, and so on and so forth.
Talking about keeping Braille alive, we have a live competition, don't we, at the moment?
We do. That's the Onkyo Braille Essay Contest, which is an annual event where you write an essay about Braille and how it's important to you and send it in, and there are cash prizes to be won.
Righto. So where do we get more information on this?
So for more information and the application pack, go to www.rnib.org.uk/essay. E-S-S-A-Y, or you can contact our helpline 0303 123 9999. The deadline for receiving entries, I think, is the 8th of June.
One thing I wanted to say before you go, James, is about the way Braille is used around the world. Does it vary, or are there advantages to reading Braille when you travel around the world?
Well, there are. One interesting case I heard several years ago was in Germany, where you have a multilingual situation. You have some bits in German and some bits in English. Now, there, Braille really comes into its own. I don't know if anybody has tried getting a speech synthesizer to read German with an English speech or read English with a German speech, but the result is a bit like allo, allo. Not brilliant, shall we say. If you have Braille, you can instantly do all the translation work yourself, and you will instantly work out whether you're reading English or German.
Right, that's interesting, because I have a phone which I dictate messages to, and it actually turns them to German by the time they get to the people I'm sending them to. So there you go. Unfortunately, I don't read German, so I've no idea what I've said. So yeah. The future, you think, is bright. We just need to keep it alive.
Absolutely. I think it's a very exciting time for Braille at the moment. For example, we have a new unified code across the English-speaking world. Now, that's an interesting subject in itself. We have a new range of Braille devices on the horizon. And we also have new ways of delivering Braille. For example, as you mentioned, downloading not just music, but general literature from the internet.
There's so many possibilities. Braille Technician Officer with RNIB and so much more, James Bowden. Keep up the crusade. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.